Dr. John Muhammad Aleph about the little past the middle, a little bit past the middle of the Almud line, begins in a Sachim. Okay, we're in the middle of discussing as follows. You have Pesukim in Parshas Shlach that mention the concept of bringing the Sachim together with a Korban. Most Korbanos a person brings, that a Yochid brings, and most Korbanos that the Sibur brings, there has to be along with them the Sachim, a mincha of flour and oil, plus wine that's poured on the Mizbeach. And we were discussing the Pesukim in that regard, how we see from the Pesukim exactly what Korbanos do and don't need. Now, in those Pesukim, you have in a number of places in those sukkim, you have the word oi. So we were discussing why you need the word oi to distinguish between one and the next. You have, for example, a source of lefala neder oi v'nidava, oi v'moyadechem, v'chisata ben vaka oi la oi zeva. So we're going through these various ones. We also mentioned before, you have a machloikis in a number of places in Shas between Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonatan. When you have two things that the Torah puts together with a vav between them, does it mean automatically both of them, unless the Torah specifies by oi or in some other way that it means one or the other? Or, chaker, does it mean that it's one or the other unless the Torah specifies something like yachden? It comes up as far as, for example, makalu avivimai. It comes up as far as like tachrish, b'shur, b'chamor. It comes up in a few places. Okay. So we're holding again. The line begins in a song. A little short. So Rabbi Yoshia says the default is that it means both of them, unless it says oi. And Rabbi Yonason says, and Rabbi Yonason says that unless it says yachdov, it means one or the other. So according to him, it usually doesn't need to say oi. It's the opposite. Unless it says yachdov, it means one or the other. Okay. So now, when the Pesuk says, v'chisasa ben baka oila oi zevat lom. So now the question is, so again, you have the parashas Nesachim, then a few psukim later it says, and if a person brings a ben bakar as an oila or a zevach meaning a shlamim, so the question is again, what do we do, lomali, what do we need the oi for? So the answer is this, because otherwise you would think, hani mili, when do we say that you need a separate set of Nesachim for each carbon? Hani mili hechad kamaisi oila or shlamim b'neder, inami oila or shlamim b'nedah. So fine, we established previously, in the last part of the Gemara before this, that on the basis of a previous thing, where it says, oi b'mayadechem, that it means that even if you're bringing an oila and a shlomim, but they're both a neder, or even if you're bringing an oila and a shlomim, but they're both a nejava, nevertheless, you have to bring separate nesachim for each one. But now you would think like this, fine, hani mili, the oila or shlomim b'neder. Fine, if you're bringing, there are two different types of korban, after all, one's an oila, one's a shlomim, the only thing they have in common is that you made a neder on both of them. Inami olo shlomim in a dava, or you could say the same thing about an ola and shlomim were in the dava. Aval hecha de kamaisi shtei olas, but suppose a person is bringing two olas, chodah b'neder v'chodah b'nedava, where one is a neder, one is in a dava. So there, you don't have a similarity as far as how he obligated himself, but you have a similarity that's the same kind of carbon. Inami shnei shlomim chodah b'neder v'chodah b'nedava, or the same thing with two shlomim. So then, Ema Shem Shlomim Achasi, you would think, look, the name Shlomim is all one, Shem Ola Achasi, or the name Ola is all one, therefore, in that sense, they should be considered like two parts of the same korban. The Tiskeleg Nesachim Dechad, therefore, it should be enough to have one set of Nesachim for the two korbanas. Kamash Malon, therefore, we have the Chitach Ben Baka Ola Oy Zevach to tell us that not. Even in that case, the Ola needs its own, and the Zevach, meaning the Shlomim, needs its own. What about the next one? The following that day in that case, then you could have an oila and a shlomim that can share that two oilas rather, or two shlomim that can share one nesachim. Then it says the fale neder oi shlomim. Then that same pasuk continues that the person declares a neder or a shlomim. So again, lomali, what do we need the oi over there also? And the answer is talk about a chamina, because otherwise you would think to say like this: hanimili teich the maisi shtei oilas chadim a neder v'chadim a nedava. Fine, if a person is bringing. You could argue in that case because a person is bringing two olas. However, one is a neder and one is an adava. Inami shnei shlomim chadav a neder v'chadav an adava, or the same thing with a shlomim. Then you could argue, okay, the fact is, yes, they're both olas, but on the other hand, yeah, one is a neder, one is an adava. That's reason enough to distinguish them and make you have to bring separate nesachim for each one. Aval hecha de kamaisi shtei olas v'neder or shtei olas v'nedava. Suppose a person brings two olas. Both by a neder, or two olas both by a nedava, inami shnei shlomim neder, shnei shlomim nedava, then you have that everything is in common, shen ola echadu v'shem neder echadu, they're both olas, they're both under a neder, let's say, So therefore, particularly Minasachim Bechad, so therefore it should be enough to bring one Nasachim. Kamashmalon, that is why that last Oy, Mafala Neder, Oy Shlomim, teaches us even in that case, where the two Korbanos had everything in common, they were the same type of Korban and the same type of, and the same type of obligation, nevertheless, Neder and Adavar, as the case may be, nevertheless. Okay. Virab Yoshia. What about now? This was all according to Rav Yonason, who says that Bechlal, it doesn't need to say Oy in the Torah most of the time, because even if it says a Vav, it also means one or the other. But according to Rav Yoshia, I mean a Bokka, Oy Minasoin, Mamali. According to Rav Yoshia, what are you doing with the words Minabokka, Oy Minasoin, from the beginning of the Parsha, from the beginning of Parsha's Nesachin? The answer is, Safidat Hamina, Hani Mila, Bishrei Mini. Because, fine, you would think all of this that we're saying you need separate Nesachim for each one is only if you have two different minim. You have two different types of korban or two different types of animal. Two different types of animal, in other words. Shrei minim means two different types of animal. Avav chad mina, but if you bring two of the same type of animal, and let's say also, like we said before, also the same type of korban and also the same type of obligation, let's say, tiskulev nesachim dechad, then it should be enough to bring one set of nesachim. Kamash malon, that is the chiddush that even then not. What about the pasuk mentions that, a couple of psukim later, it continues, kocha tasu la'echad, the pasuk continues, so you should bring nesachim for each one, which lachora, that makes it very clear that each individual korban needs its own individual nesachim. So what do we need that for, lamali? And it's still Satachanamina. Satachanamina. Hanimila Bazaka word. Why do we need that extra word? Kocha Tasu La'echad, which makes it clear that every individual korban needs its own individual one. We already dealt with all the possible cases. Fine, but the answer is Satachanamina. Hanimila Bazaka Zet. Okay, but you could still argue, when do you need separate Nesachim when you bring one korban after another? Or not even you bring them, one after the other. You will makdish them one after the other, Rashi Saviad says. So you will makdish one today by an ola of a sheep, by a nether, and the next day another ola of a sheep, also with a nether, then you would think that you need separate Nesachim, because after all, they were mukdish on different days. But suppose at one time you said, Harei Olai, to bring two sheep as an ola, let's say. Maybe then it's enough to bring one Nesachim. Kamash Malon, then even in that case, no. So in all cases, you need separate Nesachim for each one. The reason, by the way, why we have that last line and a half in between brackets in our Gemaras is because you have different Achronim have different stories over here. Should we be Gerdus that or not? So Kodshim discusses it. You have according to the Sun, Kodshim argues that the Gemara is not bringing two different cases over here, just that when from Minabaka or Minasun itself, we're learning that even if you were makdish two of the same type of animal at the same time and with the same type of nether, even then you need different Nesachim. Well, he's not learning from Kachatah, so he's saying that Minabaka or Minasun already is teaching that. So according to that Gersa, we're not discussing what he learns from Kocha Tasu La'achod. Because that might be, you could say the pasuk is summarizing that everyone needs, whatever. Okay. Fine, so that's it. The bottom line is that every individual korban of the type that needs Nesachim needs its own Nesachim. There's no sharing Nesachim between two korbanos. So again, to recap, our Mishnah had said, when it comes to korbanos of a yachid, the rule is that if any korban of a yachid, between the Mishnah and the Gemara, we said if any korban of a yachid where the type of korban is a voluntary korban, namely an oilo or a shlomim or a toida, even if this particular oilo or shlomim is being brought as a result of a choiv, for example, oilo suriyah and shamish hagizah and yachid, nevertheless, it still needs a sachin. So therefore, a yachid, b'chor, meiser, pesach, chatas, and asham do not require nesachim. As far as b'chor, meiser, pesach, chatas, and asham. And as far as the korbanos of tzibur, same thing. The oilus require nesachim. The other korban, and the zibcha sham of tzibur. The other ones do not. With the exception, we said that there's one exception. There are two exceptions, rather. We said that the chatas and asham of a mesura require nesachim. So that's going to lead us into the next piece of Gemara over here. We said, Elo shechatoseh shemetzor of ha'ashomet ha'un nesachim, that among all chatoris and ha'ashomet, the chatas and ha'ashom of the mesorah are unique in that they require nesachim.
All the others
don't. Some non-Israeli, where do we know that? So like this, the Torah. No, we didn't. We discussed how we know that the voluntary korbanos need nesachim, and that even the korbanos that don't come al-chet, but they're not voluntary, such as Bechor and Meister, etc., don't require Nesachim. We haven't dealt with how we know that the Asham and Chatas of the Masorah need Nesachim. So like this, the Tanarabanan, the Pasuk says like this, in the case of a Masoda, the Pasuk mentions the Karbanis that he brings, and it says, Shlosha Esronim Solas Mincha. Then it says he brings three Esronim of flour as a Mincha. So, the Mincha, Boim Azevach, across the Dabbah, the Pasuk is referring to the Mincha that comes along with the Karban. So, after meaning the Mincha Setah. After Omer, the Mincha Boim Azevach, so you're telling me that it means the one that comes with the Karban. Maybe not. Maybe it means an independent mincha that he's supposed to be bringing. And the point would be, therefore, if it's a minchas nisachin, then the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach, no kremis is taken from it. If it's an independent mincha, then it's like any other mincha. So then the kremis is taken and burnt on the mizbeach, and the rest, the kohen eats. The one that we've been talking about these last couple of days, the kind that comes as an accessory to the kremis. You bring an oil or a shlom, etc., you bring minchas nesachim with it, which that minchas nesachim, the flour and oil, is mixed together, but none of it is taken, no kremis is taken from it. The entire thing is taken as is and grown down the mizbeach. So you're telling me that it means that this mincha that the Minnesota is bringing is minchas nesachim, but maybe not, maybe it's a regular type of mincha from which a kremis is taken, etc. No, true oima, when it says at the end of the section, the hela kohen, it's the oila ves ha mincha. The pasuk says the kohen shall offer the oila and the mincha, therefore, heavy under mincha boim as ever hakasa bedaba. Obviously, therefore, the pasuk is referring to a mincha that comes together with the korban. In other words, it is clearly talking about the mincha, it is clearly talking about the mincha setachim. Actually, Rashi points out also, if this is a Masorda Osher, he actually needs three sets of Nesachim, because he's bringing three Karbanis, he's bringing an Ola Chakas and an Osham. The Ola is going to need Nesachim anyway, because he established that before, and then there's a Chakas and Osham. Okay. So that's it. So therefore, when we say that he has to bring a Mincha, then it means that he's bringing a Mincha Nesachim together with the Karban. Okay. Okay, what about though, you don't know from that whether it also requires wine for nesachim together with the Karban. So now we're going to go back to Parashas Nesachim in Parashas Shlach that we were darshaning before. You have a pasuk there that says that wine for the pouring, there should be a revius of a hin, three logim, you should do for an ola or for a zevach, for each sheep. So we haven't yet darshan that oila oila zavach. We darshan the oila oi zavach at the beginning of the parasha. We didn't yet darshan the oila or zavach in the middle over there. This is in pasuk hay over there.
Which pasuk?
In parashas Nesachim. You know what? Go grab a chumash bamidbar from over there, and we can follow.
Right there, there's a blue chumash from over there.
First of all, and we darshan each phrase in that pasuk so far. Isha Lashem means when a korban is being burnt on the mizbeach. Oiva means an oila. Oi zavach means a toida and a shlomin. Lafala neder oiva nedava, meaning that it has to be the type of korban that can be brought by neder oiva nedava. Oiva mayadechem, or a korban that's brought as a requirement for Yom Tov, for example, the Olas Ri'ah and Shamech Hagiga, Lachus Reach Nichayach Lashem in Abaka Omen Atayim, where we dash in all those phrases. Now we're going ahead a couple of psukim. So the Pasuk mentions that you bring the flour and the oil. Then it says, Pasuk Hay, the Yayim Manesech Leviyat Ahin, wine for pouring, a quarter of a hin, Kasa Ala Oila Oila Zavach, you should bring with the Oila or with the Zavach, Lakeva Sarachad, for each sheep. So now we have those words, Oila Oila Zavach, we have to dash in. So therefore the word oila over here refers specifically to the oila that the Masoda is bringing. Oila zavach zu zevach zu chasas. The word zevach over here means it's chasas, and the word oila zevach zu asher Masoda. So therefore it includes all three of his korban. But all three of them require the wine, and all three of them also require the flour and oil as minchas nesachim. Okay. So the question is, the typical tavayu mizavach. Why do you need a separate word oi and lazavach to teach us the osham and the chatas? Just learn them both from the word zavach. The word zavach basically means the korban that's shechted. Both the osham and the chatas are shechted. Neither of them are brewed korbanos. So therefore, you can learn them both from the word lazavach. Omar, as in fact we find a connection with another, Chasas v'osham minayin. How do we know that this rule also applies to the chasas and the osham? Tamubana zevach. And there we learn from the one word zevach about both of them. So which rule are we talking about? Rashi Ksavyad and also Rashi Ksavyad and Yofa Sarashi explain, we're talking about like this. In Masech and Nazir, it talks about the idea that based on the Stukim in Parashat Nazir, that when a Nazir has finished his Nazirus, he shaves off his hair that he grew during his Nazirus, and he's supposed to put it under the pot where his Shlomim is cooking. Now, so the Gemara explains over there in Nazir that how do we know if he were to put it under the fire directly, under the pot, yeah. The pot is in the Lishkas Nazirim, and in one of the four chambers around the Ezras Noshim. He's cooking his shlamim over there. So he's supposed to take the hair, and after he shaves it off, and put it in the fire under the pot over there. So now, how do we know that if he were to put it in the fire under the pot of one of the other korbanos? So chatas va'osham minayin specifically would be talking about if it was a nazir tamei, because a nazir tahor doesn't bring an osham. It doesn't bring a chatas, rather. A nazir tahor. Another Torah doesn't bring a chassid, another Talmud does. So, another Torah brings, what does another Torah bring? Well, we have a little bit of another Torah also brings three carbonists, but, let me see, what are they? Let's see, he brings an oila, a chassid, and a shlomim. Oila, chassid, and shlomim, where if he was another Talmud and he'd bring the carbonists to start his Nizirus over, then he'd bring an oila, a chassid, and an osha. So here, the Braita mentions the Chachas and the Oshem, so we're talking about another Tumah. So the question is, how do we know? They both bring an Ola, they both bring a Chachas, but one brings a Shlom, one brings an Oshem. Okay, so how do we know then, that this Braita is saying, according to Rashi, that if he were to put his hair under the pot of the Chachas or of the Oshem, he would still be Yosef? Tosfos brings other explanations, that actually what the Gemara means is that it's asking, how do we know that those Korbanos are also eaten for only one day and one night, unlike a shlomim, which usually is eaten for 2 days and one night. Anyway, so the point is, Talmud Lema Zevach. The point is, we learn from the word Zevach. So we see the word Zevach all by itself can include a chatas and an osham. So why over here do we need Oy La Zevach to teach us separately a chatas and an osham? Okay, the answer is, Hani Mili, Hechad is Havai, Fi Adadi. Fine, but you would say that you can learn them from one positive, where they're both serving the same function. When it comes to a nazir, both his chatas and his osham both have the same function. They're both allowing him to start his nazirus over again. They're not coming for kapara per se. They're coming for that purpose. Therefore, you can have one word zevach that includes both of them. To restart his nazirus. Remember, a nazir tamei, he brings his karbonis. Only after he brings his karbonis, then can he restart his nazirus and hope that he gets through it this time without becoming tamei. Aval hecha de osham lahashir v'chatas lahashir, but on the other hand, by Masorah, the two korbanos are actually serving different purposes. The osham is needed in order for him to be kosher to enter the Beit Mikdash and eat korbanos. The chatas is actually meant for kapara. What kapara? Rashi explains that the Gemara mentions in Eichin, you have seven averas that a person might do for which he might get sarah, so the chatas is meant as a kapara for whichever of those seven averas he did. So therefore, but in a trei kroi, therefore we can argue that you need two psukim. And if you only have the word zevach, you wouldn't understand that it means both the chatas and the osham. Now you have Meforshim Acharonim point out that you have other gemaras that seem to imply that the osham, in fact we had earlier in our Masechta, that seem to imply that the osham of Masorah is not really l'chapara. That's really also to be machshir him to be able to, not the osham, the chatas, sorry, is meant to, is part of the process of being machshir him, not so much for kapara. So what do we mean over here that it's for kapara? So one, among the various answers are that you may have a machloekus about this between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon elsewhere in Shas about that basic issue. What is the purpose of that korban of the Masorah? Is it to be machshir or is it to be machatas? So therefore, so those other Gemaras can be going according to one opinion, and this one could be going according to you. Okay. Fine. Let's continue. So we said, Zevach du chatas Masorah. So we said, again, the word zevach in Pasuk Hey, that's talking about the Nesachim, that's talking about that you have to bring the Nesachim. We said the word zevach means the chatas. But how do you know? The chassas of a tzara. The emazu chassas for osham the nazir. Maybe what it actually means is the chassas and osham of a nazir. That, again, we just established that the word zebah in a different place, in parashat Nosai, means the chassas and the osham of a nazir. So maybe over here also, when it says, ala oila oila zebah, maybe it means that the chassas and the osham of a nazir, chame, need nisachim, and not the ones of a tzara. This is loy sakadaybach. You can't think that way. You can't think that way, Tanya, because we learn in another brasa. When the pasuk says by the nazir or minchasam v'niskehem, the pasuk says he has to bring their mincha and their nesach. That means shlomo v'chasam adavit. And another tamer, but the same thing in other words applies for another tamer. Only his oila and his shlomim require nesachim. And again, remember, another tamer is bringing an oila, a shlomim, and a chas. So we're saying only the oila and the shlomim there require nesachim, not the chas. And therefore, by another tummy, the same thing. Well, usually not. We just said by Masorah you do. So the question is, how we know it's not by Masorah, by another? That's what we're figuring out. But maybe not. Maybe it means even a chassas needs of another, needs a second. So, Tamadlaim of Esa, Ayo Yata Zevach Shlomim. The passage mentioned a few psukim later. It says, the ram he should offer as a Zevach Shlomim. Umin Chase Venisko. And again, it mentions that he should bring its Mincha and its Nesach. So ayo b'chlal hoya, it means so this ayo was in the general category because it already mentioned at a few k'sukim earlier. It said that he has to bring a sheep for an ola and a ram for a shlomim. So we already know he's bringing a ram for a shlomim. So the lama yasa. So why is the ram being singled out? So we know from one of the yodom mitzvos lo the lama al asma yasa. Yeah, man lahakish ela. That means to make a hekish between it and other korbanos. Ma ayo miyuchad ba b'nedir nedava. This ram is, what's special about it? It is a shlomim, and a shlomim is a korban that can be brought voluntarily, b'nedir nedava. This particular one is not, because the guy is a nazir and he has to bring it. But nevertheless, a general shlomim can be brought b'nedir nedava. And by the way, I mean, even here, there is a certain kind of nedir nedava in this, in that he didn't have to become a nazir. He voluntarily became a nazir. Yeah, I've called Bob Neder and Adava, so the same thing, anything else that's brought Neder and Adava needs Nesachim, therefore not his Chassas, because even though it's true in this particular case, ultimately his Chassas is coming because of a voluntary thing, because he decided to become a Nazir, nevertheless, a Chassas is not the type of Korban that comes Neder and Adava, therefore no Nesachim. So there by the Nazir, you clearly have a Pasuk over there that shows that we do not bring Nesachim with his Chassas, and for that matter, with another tummy, with his chappas or his osham. Therefore, we have to say that the oila oila zavach in parashas Shlach is referring to the ones of the Masorah, where we don't have any such meal.
Because we can't
say it by another, so by elimination, it has to be by another. Because by another, we just said, because we have the aisle singled out, and therefore we say we're learning from the aisle that only the korbanos that are of the type that are b'neder and adavah. Fine. Then we said oila zu oilas mesarda. Okay, so we said the word oila in this passage refers to the oila of the mesarda, but the ema zu oilas yoledes. How do you know? Maybe it means the oila of a woman who gave birth, that she has to bring that she has to bring the stochim with it. The answer is Omar Abaya, we don't need that. Omar Abaya, Oyla, Yerla, that's Mistake of the Krona. So we would learn that from the end of that same passage. The Tanya of Nosim, remember? When it continues in that passage, it says, the passage says, Tasa la Oyla, Oyla, Zavach, La Keveth, Ha Echad. So we have the word La Keveth, and we have the word Ha Echad, which we haven't doubted yet. Now let's doubt him then. La Keveth, Zu Oyla, Yerla, this. The sheep that it mentions in this passage refers to the Oyla of a Yerla, this. A Yerla, this, by the way, there's also two possibilities. There can be, if she's rich, She brings a keves for an ola and a bird for a chassas. I think so, actually. Yeah, I don't remember. I'll have to think about that. Whatever it is, anyway, the point is, if she's poor, then she brings two birds. So whatever, let's take a look over here. Yeah, so let's see. Even if she's rich, she's always bringing one bird. She's bringing one animal and one bird, and if she's poor, then she's bringing two birds, one for an oil and one for a chata. So if the one, if she's rich, what?
Rich animal?
Yeah, a sheep. Okay. So there's
two animals. One.
Right. So if it's a poor woman and she's bringing two birds, then there's no nesachim. We established before that bird korbanos don't have nesachim. But if she's bringing the keves, then we see from this word, like keves over here, that yes, she has to bring the nesachim with it as well, even though it doesn't say there in Parshas Tzadikim. And ho'echad, and the word ho'echad in this pasuk about nesachim is teaching us that achad also shall ma'aser. This refers to the case of the 11th animal in the case of ma'aser behemah. Shekarev shlomim, where such an animal is brought to the shlomim. So you have the famous case, we've mentioned it, we've mentioned it in Zvachim, it comes up here and there. It actually, at the end of Horius, we have something about it. We'll learn about it in more detail at the end of Bechorus, that's Hashem, later this year. You have a situation where a person miscounted the animals from Ma'aser Behemah, and mistakenly he designated the 11th animal that comes out as the 10th one. So let's say he missed one, and so he counted the 10th one as number 9, and then the 11th one as number 10. So that 11th one has kedusha, so the 10th one has kedusha because it's the real ma'aser. It has to be offered as ma'aser. The 11th one has a certain kedusha as well, and you have to offer it as a shlum. So that shlum, you even have a more elaborate case over there that the Mishnah described, where by mistake he called the 10th one number 9, then he called the 9th one number 10, then he called the 10th one number 9, and then he called the 11th one number 10, and all three of them have a degree of kedusha, and we'll learn about it over there. But anyway, the point is, there are cases where the 11th one has kedusha, and has to actually be offered as a shlum.
So
10th one is ma'aser. Ma'aser, we said, is one of the five that don't need nesachim. But here, the 11th one, which he mistakenly called 10, is brought to the shlomim and does need nesachim. Ma'aser behemah. You bring it as a korban and about ma'aser l'cholim. It's every day in davening. The owners eat the whole thing. Does the kohen get any part of ma'aser behemah? Maybe, I don't remember, but I think maybe he does. Maybe he gets some part of it. I don't remember. Maybe he gets chazav shalom. It's a separate category of korban. Anyway, whatever it is, the point is that the 11th one is being brought as a regular shlomim, and a regular shlomim needs nesachim.
The ma'aser doesn't have shlomim?
Ma'aser doesn't have nesachim, as we said in the Mishnah, as one of the five that doesn't. So that's the point. We need a pasuk to tell us that this shlomim is going to shlomim finol of a chol Torah sheyetopo chomim in a ikar. You never find anywhere in the Torah that the secondary thing should be stronger than the original thing. If the original, this 11th one, why is it, if the 10th one doesn't require nesachim, why should the 11th, which is only coming from the koyach on the 10th? Nevertheless, it does, and that is what we need this word ha'echad to teach us this concept.
If it was not for the ha'echad, we would say that it doesn't.
You don't bring it. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay, so all of this discussion was about how we know what we said in our Mishnah, that we said that the Chatzos of Masorah and the Oshim of Masorah require Masachim. We said that we with this whole discussion that we're learning it from the words La'ola Oila Zach. And we said it can't be referring to the Nazir and it can't be referring to the Yelages and so forth. Rava says have a different explanation how we know automatically from the Sukkim that it means the Korbanos of the Masorah that they require a Sukkim. Ezo Dava Shesorach Shloisha Rivuyin. Rava says what kind of Korban do you have? What case do you have where somebody is bringing three Korbanos and you need three Rivuyin to teach us that all three of them require the Sukkim? Have you ever Masorah? You have to say it's Masorah. Wait a minute, what about
that?
Because we have three Rebuyim. La'ola, Oila, Zavach. So therefore, that is the La'ola, Oila, Zavach. So each one is Ma'aser one carbon. So therefore, by elimination, that has to mean the Masorah. It has to mean the Masorah, because he's the only one where you would need to be Ma'aser that all three of them, that all three of them. Yeah. Now, because he's the only one. So actually, that's the Miyuchas Rashi says, because if it was a Nazir, you would actually need four Rebuyim, because you have altogether four types of Korban that a Nazir brings. Again, both types of Nazir, Tomei or Tahar, are bringing an Ola and a Chatas. The one with Tomei is bringing also an Osham. The one with Tahar instead of the Osham is bringing a Shlomim. So altogether, you have four types of Korban associated with a Nazir. If the Pasuk was telling us about the Korbanos of a Nazir, then it would have to have four Rebuyim. The fact that it only has three.
Two for Tomei and two for Tahar.
Altogether four, to cover the four Korbanos that are shared in common by between a Nazir Tomei and a Nazir Tahar. The Tomei has three, the Tahar has two of those, also different ones, so altogether you have four. So you'd need four Rebuyim. The fact that we only have three, that can only refer to the Masorah, who's bringing three Korbanos. Okay. Next, La'ayalamali. Next, you have the pasuk continues there. That the next pasuk continues Oy La'ayal Pasamincha. So let's discuss that. Why does it need to say La'ayal? The Rashi explains. The question is that in Parshas Pinchas, it says that an ayil needs nesachim, two estuarium of flour, and four logim of oil. So why does it need to repeat over here the word, why over here does it need to repeat the word la'ayil? Miyuchas Rashi adds that what it is the prophet could have said, Pasim Mincha Solos Shnei Estuarium, and we would understand on the basis, the parashat Mincha, that it's referring to an ayil. Why does it need to use the word la'ayil over here? So therefore, yeah. The answer is Larabas is a palgus. Larabas is a palgus. Pilgus, whatever. It comes to include a palgus. A palgus, the word palgus literally means like something in between. Yeah, well, so that's the thing. Yeah, some of the Rishonim derive it from the word plag, which means half. Steinsaltz mentions that it may come from a Greek word, something like palax or something like that. That means like an adolescent, like something between a child and an adult.
You missed something here?
Did I? Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right. I skipped the whole section. I think you're right. You're right. Thank you. The word la'ayil itself comes to add that also the ram that Aaron brings on Yom Kippur, which is his own private carbon, that the Kohen Aaron or the later Kohen Golem, that also has to come with the Zahim. The question is, what do you mean? Elishal Ayin, you've been by Adechem now. So you don't need that. You have already earlier in that parasha where it says, Oyvim by Adechem. And we said it means any carbon that's required to be brought, any carbon of the type that can be benedir and adava, but is being brought as a requirement for Yomtiv, any Ola or Shlomim that's being brought as a requirement for Yomtiv, needs Nesachim. The Elishal Ayin is an Ola. Automatically, it needs Nesachim. What do you need an extra posik for it? Hey, the answer is, fine, but you could argue, what do you mean by Moyadechim? You mean any carbon that's required to be brought by the Sibur on a Yomtiv. And fine, you could argue also the Olas Ri'iyah and Shamech Hagiga, that's also sort of like a carbon Sibur in that the whole Sibur brings it at the same time and they're all Ola the Regal. So yeah, each Ola...
You're right, a Yachid,
no? Yeah, but you would have thought, yeah. Avol the Yachid, but you would think a carbon like this, which is purely a carbon of a Yachid, that Aaron himself, or the Kohenim Golem, are supposed to bring on Yom Kippur, you would think that, no. Therefore you need the word la'ayil. The question is, then, in that case, why should Noma Ola Yeledes? Okay, why should it be any different than the Ola of a Yeledes, which is also a Korban Yachid, and we said we have an extra ribui for Nesachim, for the same thing, we can figure it by the same logic, we don't need an extra ribui for Aaron's ayil, which would be the same thing. Well, the answer is, fine, but you would argue like this, a Korban of a Yeledes, fine, it's not the neder and a dava because she's required to bring it. On the other hand, it is like a neder and a dava because there's no fixed time for it. But avol dava shekavur leizman, but the ayol of the kohen gadol, where it's neither, it's not bab a neder and a dava because he has to bring it on Yom Kippur, and it's not even like an olaf yoledes where she can bring it any time. He has to bring it on Yom Kippur and no other time. So it's really not at all like neder and a dava.
The Yoledes can bring it any time?
Well, in principle, I mean, she's supposed to bring it as soon as possible after 40 days or 80 days. But yeah,
it's still valid.
It would be valid afterwards, yeah. But the point is, there's no particular date in the year when she has to bring it anyway, whereas the Kohen Gadol, yeah. But Aim Alois, you would think maybe not. Maybe it's not at all like a Nedu and a Dava. Kamash Malon, that, therefore known as Sachin, Kamash Malon, that is why we need the word La'ayil to teach us that. Okay. Oy la'ayalamali. So now what is the word oy teaching us over there? And here we go. Ladavis is a palgus. That here it comes to include also a palgus. So okay, a palgus again means half or it means adolescent, whatever. In terms of an ayo, what it means is like this. You have a sheep is called a keves until it's a year old. After, then it reaches a year old. Now, during the 13th month, Rashi explains, is when it's called a palgus. In order for it to be considered an ayil, it has to be over 13 months old. And then, for the rest of its second year, it's called an ayil.
So
keves, palgus, and then keves for 12 months, palgus for a month, and ayil after that, for the rest of the year. Because we do. We have...
Between palgus in the middle, why is it...
Why is it? I don't know, because that's how it is. I don't know. I guess sheep grow differently than other animals. What? Yeah, sort of like a nyla when it comes to women, yeah. The lotion that the Rambam uses actually is that the definition of a palgus is on the 30th day. So you have some portion who explains that Rambam may be disagreeing with Rashi on this and saying that no, during most of the 13th month, it is still considered a keves. Only on the 30th day of the 13th month, for that one day, is it considered a palgus. But you have other Achronim understand that Rambam differently. They argue that Rambam is not arguing, and he would say that, yeah, the whole 13th month. Whatever it is, when the animal is a palgus, then we need the word oil aisle to teach us that the mincha for it is the same as for an aisle. There's the same two astronomy of flour, the same four logum of oil, and the same four logum of wine. Okay, for a palace, as for an aisle. So the question is, Hanichal Rabbi Yechanan, Da'amah Ber Yehu. Now that works according to Rabbi Yechanan, who says that a palgus, as far as halacha is concerned, is actually considered a different type of animal. And we know that, and we know that like this. We learn in a Mishnah in Torah. The Mishnah is discussing over there the age of the paradoma. So then it digresses to talk about the ages of various other korbanos. What's the definition of a keves? What's the definition of an aisle? What's the definition of an edol, etc.? So it mentions over there that you have this concept of a palgus, the in-between stage for a sheep, and it says hikrivoi, if a person is offering a palgus as a korban, maybe all of niske aisle, he has to bring the nisachim of a ram for it, as we just said from the word oil aisle, but the ena oil aloy mizivchai, however, it does not count for his obligation of a korban. Meaning, in other words, if the person had made a neder that he's going to bring a sheep, or that he's going to bring an aisle, the palgus doesn't count for it. So nevertheless, he designated this animal to bring for his carbon. Fine, it now has grusha, and he's going to go offer it, but he's still going to have to bring an actual keves or an actual aisle, as the case may be, to be yoish to his carbon. And by the same logic also, if he has a carbon that has to be a keves, let's say, for example, the one of the carbonists of the Masoda over there, or that has to be an aisle, one of the carbonists of the Nazir over there, then also he's not going to be yoish to with a palgus. Okay.
You find the cousin, you have to really rely on the guy who's selling it that he really knows age.
Yes, indeed. Okay. If not, then I guess it's a mechatos, and that's it.
That has to be a kevis, you know, 12 months exactly, and
mm-hmm. Then well, no, kevis is within the first year, see?
Yeah.
Yeah, just 1 month, yeah. So that's what the Mishnah said, that if a person offers a palgus as a korban, he has to bring the nesachim of an iron for it, but it doesn't count. Right. But, and the Omer Rabbi Yechanan, and Rabbi Yechanan says, how do we know that? Because it says, Oila Ayah, what happens to the palgus?
What's the bring if it doesn't come with?
Because the fact is, he thought that he could bring it whatever. I mean, once he said, I'm going to bring this animal as a korban, then he has to bring it. But the point, unless it develops the moment, then he can be paid there. But like this, where he said, let's say, I'm going to bring a kevis as a korban, and then he brings this palgus. He still brought it. It still has kedusha, but nevertheless, he's going to have to bring another kevis to be Yosef's neder. Okay, so according to Rabbi Yechanan, who says exactly that the palgus is fundamentally a different type of animal, and therefore we need the word oi in the pasuk to be marbe'et, then okay, then it works out. Elul bar pada, but we have the opinion of bar pada, it's a sugya in the Sefer Chulin, so we'll get there in a few weeks, says Hashem. Bar pada learns differently. He says, the omer maisi umasi, what bar pada says like this, what the person should do is, it's true the Mishnah says maybe Niske Ayo, but Bar Pada learns what it means is he's not bringing the Niske Ayo definitely because the Pasuk is telling us it requires an Nesachim of an Ayo. What it is he's bringing the Nesachim of an Ayo because those are larger than those of a Keves, and therefore they include the Nesachim of a Keves. So what he does is he's bringing his two Esurim of flour and four Logum of oil and four Logum of wine, but he's making a Tznai. If this animal is a Keves, that if this animal is an aisle, then all of this is what I need for the nesachim of it. And if this animal is a keves, then only one esar and a flour and three logum of oil and three logum of wine are needed for it. And the rest I'm bringing as an adava. The fact that it's mixed together is neither here nor there. And if it's an aisle, then good. He's bringing everything again. Which is four, two, four, and four. Two esronim, four logim, two, four, and four. And if it's a keves, then it'll be one, three, and three.
Okay. The fact that we don't have the exact full, have the exact measurements.
Okay, so actually, 1 second. So, Tosus brings up a point over here that, first of all, Tosus brings a point that Rashi makes in the sugya in Cholin. We're going to learn later on in our Masechta, we're going to learn in the late course, that a person... that if a person wants to bring a minchas nesachim as an adava, they can't. It has to be something that would be suitable to be the minchas nesachim of an individual animal. So it can be, for example, in the case of the flour, it can be three, four, or it can be one, two, or well, let's talk about in the case of the oil and the wine, it can be three, four, or six, but not one, two, or five, because one can't be the nesachim of any animal, two can't be any, and five is not any either, and you can't make out of it the nesachim of any animal. So what are we saying over here? He's bringing one Isarin as a suffix. So how does that work? So So Rashi over there explains, it's one thing if he was bringing it independently, then not. But here he's bringing it to, as part of a larger carbon, just meant a focus, then that works.
If not,
then we would have had to say it. If not, then we would have had to say that he has to bring a larger amount. He has to bring 3 plus 4. He has to bring 3 plus 4, for example. He has to bring 3 estronim of flour, and then he has to bring 3 estronim of flour to cover one for the kevis and 2 for the oil, and then 7 logim of wine and 7 of oil. So 3 for 3 if it was a kevis.
You have to add
for the kevis plus what's for the oil. Yeah. Yeah.
So
instead of 1, 3, 3, you'd have to be winning 3, 7, and 7. Okay, anyway, Tosfos discusses that actually what he'll have to do is, yes, as far as the menachas, in order to, they can't be mixed because they're different consistencies between the flour and the oil, therefore he's going to have to bring in the 2 separate kalim. So therefore, fine, if it's all for the aisle, then it all counts together, and if not, then yes. The point is that according to Bar Tada, you don't have the pasuk telling you that you have to bring them a sachem of an ayo because there's a kosher. You're only bringing them a sachem of an ayo because you can't be sure whether there's a kevis or an ayo. What do you mean wait? The fact is you didn't wait. You brought it over here and they shafted it. So, the seiko, so according to Bar Tada, it's a pasuk. The question is, if to curl a l'rabuya seiko, so what do you need a pasuk to be marba a sachem? Do you need the pasuk? Do you need the pasuk to tell you that you bring the nesachim of an aisle because of the suffix? Obviously, you can realize that on your own. Or that's a suffix, and you're gonna have to bring the nesachim of an aisle because you have no other choice. According to Miyuchas Rashi, also the question is, Hashem knows the truth. Hashem knows whether it's a tevis or an aisle. So why would Hashem be writing in the Torah the word oila aisle to tell you that? By the way, it's a suffix, and therefore this is what you have to do. Hashem doesn't have any faith. The answer is, you're right, labade labad tada, kasha, you're right, according to babada, of necessity, it's a kasha, to understand what we're learning from the word oi la'ayo. La'ayo, we said, but what he learned from the oi, we don't know what babada was learning.
Rejected.
Not rejected, we just don't know. Well, you obviously have to have something, he knew what the pasuk says, but we don't know what he would explain to us. Okay. Onward, let's go on with doushening more of the psukim. A few psukim later, it says, kocha ye'osa la'shar ha'achad, so should be done for each shur, or for each aisle, or for a seh, for a is a generic term that means a sheep or a goat, specifically among the sheep or among the goats. So now let's understand what those
can be a
kiddush. A seh is a general term. Yeah, yeah. Seh kvasim, the seh is in the avodah zarah. Yeah. The word seh means an animal from the flock, let's say. The kvasim and ezim are both here. Okay. So what are we learning from those words? So lasher ha'echad matam adlema. What are we learning from lasher ha'echad? So like this, l'fisha matzinu shechilek ha'kata v'niske ayel v'niske kevet. We're finding that the pasuk is distinguishing between the nesachim of an ayel, which is an older animal, and a kevet, which is a younger animal. Yachol mechalek v'niske pyo v'niske egel. So you would think the same distinction you should have among cattle between a shur, which is an old, between a shur, which is an old, a pyo, which is an older animal, or an egel. So you have in the Mishnah and Torah over there, it describes that you have different opinions over there, that power is Ben Shtayim or Ben Sholish, whatever. Anyway, you know, so you would think maybe there's a distinction between a power and an eagle, different amounts of nesachim between them. Rashi over here says that a power is Shtei Shonim and an eagle is Ben Shonim. So the distinction between a power and an eagle is exactly like the distinction between an ayel and a kevah. So you would think there should be a distinction. No, Talmud Baimel, a shur ha'echad, therefore the pasuk says for each shur. Any shur has the same rule, whether it's older, whether it's younger, it always has the same nesachim. Because there isn't. And Tosfos points out, actually, that we find another gemara on the basis of the pasuk shur akesava is ki yivolid, that the word shur, that the animal can be called a shur as soon as it's born. So when it says la shur ha'ezod, it means no matter how old the animal is, it's always a shur, and therefore you're always bringing the same nesachim. Okay, right.
And after 2, it's what?
No, then, well, after 2. No, it becomes a power at 2 years old. After that, it's also a power. But once the animal is beyond a certain age, you're not supposed to be offering it as a korban anyway because it's too old. It's not respectful to Hashem. So in the case of an ayel, for example, actually the Rambam says that once it's in its 3rd year, you're not supposed to be bringing it. Our Gemara is soon going to talk about an ayel that's older than 2 years old. So one explanation is that maybe what the Rambam is saying is only midrabanan. You shouldn't be bringing it. Maybe midaraisa, you would be allowed to. Or maybe we're talking, maybe the Gemara soon is going to be talking about, let's say you were over and you offered it. What are you doing
for us? Talking
about today? The pasuk was the basara. We're talking basically more broadly that, yes, people are bringing unsuitable animals as korban. Yeah, sick animals, yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
it could be also maybe animals over age, yeah. Onward. So that's what we learned from Lasher Ha. What about Ola Ayo, Matam and Lema? What are we learning from Ola Ayo HaEchad? Like this, the Fishim Asinu Shechilek HaKosov Ben Niske Ben Shana LeNiske Ben Shtayim. You find that the Pasuk is distinguishing when it comes to sheep between when it's below a year old and when it's above a year old, in second year. Yochol Mechalek Ben Niske Ben Shtayim LeNiske Ben Shalosh. So there you go. Maybe there's a distinction. Maybe you have one type of Mesachim when the animal is in its second year, and then yet another type when it's in its third year. Which again, we could argue that maybe Madaraisi you're allowed to offer in a third year or whatever. No, Tamad Lima, Oila Ayla Echad, therefore the pasuk says, or for each aisle, meaning that once the animal is an aisle, once it reached 13 months, then that's it. It remains an aisle for the rest of its life. And therefore it has the same assignment.
So the distinction is only between...
Between below a year and above 13, between a kevis, a palgus, and an aisle, but that's it. Once it's an aisle, it stays an aisle. And it has the same assignment. What about when the pasuk continues? Yeah. What about when it says Ola?
Maybe it should be Dafka and Ayel.
Okay.
If it was by the Akedah.
What about, what do you mean it should be Dafka and Ayel? Sometimes the Torah tells you to bring Dafka and Ayel. Sometimes it tells you to bring Dafka and Kedah. Whatever. The point is, once the animal became an Ayel, it doesn't, by getting older, it doesn't get a different status. Yet. Okay. What about when it continues or for any seh among the sheep? What are we learning from that? Look, you have to realize, by the way, the psukim before that have already described that for a pow you bring X amount and for an ayo you bring X amount. So the question is, why is it repeating the names of the animals in this passage? It could have said kochayas or something like that. That's what we're dashing in from. Okay. So okay, so like this. You're finding that when it comes to male sheep, the Torah is distinguishing between a baby male sheep under a year old and an adult one over a year old. Because an ayah is a male, it's a ram. Yochol mechalek bein niske tivsel v'niske v'chela. So you should argue the same thing applies to females. Once a female sheep gets to be 13 months old, a rechela is like an ayah, yeah. Maybe then it should have a different tefachim. No, Talmud Lema Oyla Sevak Vosim. So among the sheep, there's no distinction except for the male after 13 months, which is an ayin. Oyba Izim, Ma Talmud Lema. Then what are we learning from Oyba Izim? Lefishim Asinah Shechilek Akasa Ben Niske Keves Ben Niske Ayil. Again, we find, okay, at least with the sheep, you find as far as the males, the Torah is distinguishing between the baby one and the adult one. Yochol Mechalek Ben Niske Gdi Le Niske Sire. So you would think with goats, at least you should have the same distinction between a baby goat and an older goat, a billy goat. Therefore, it says that all the goats have the same rule. So the bottom line is as follows. Among all the cattle, it's the same, regardless of the age and regardless of whether it's male or female. Among the goats, when it comes to Nesachim, right? When it comes to goats, it's always the same, whether they're male or female, old or young. When it comes to sheep, among the females, there's no difference, old or young. Among the males, you have kevis versus ayil. So that's it. You have cattle, sheep, and goats. But only by the sheep do you have the three levels, kevis, algus, and ayil, and only by males, by the female sheep, and by all of the cattle, and by all of the goats, regardless, male or female, you have no distinction. A cattle of any kind, male, female, old, young, gets the same nesachim, 3, 6, and 6. A goat of any age or any gender gets the same thing, 3, 1, and 3, 1 isarin, 3 logim, 3 logim. Cattle of any kind get 3, 6, and 6.
Right.
Goats of any kind get 1, 3, and 3.
Yeah.
Female sheep of any kind get also 1, 3, and 3. Male baby sheep also get 1, 3, and 3. The only one that gets 2, 4, and 4 is the ayil, the male adult sheep. So that's what we're learning from these sukkim over here, that with the other ones there's no distinction. Omer HaPapa. So the Papa says like this. Batiklon Rava. Rava one time tested us tamim. Niske rechela bekama. When it comes to the nesachim of a rechela, of an adult female sheep, how much is it? How much wine does it need in particular? He wanted to see whether they know this that we just said, that the rechela has the same din as the younger sheep. We answered it to him on the basis of a Mishnah in Shkolim. The Mishnah describes over there, they had a system in the Beit Mikdash like this. Given that you have to have, people are coming with their korbanos and bringing the stuff in. The problem is you can't expect that the average person is going to be able to make proper nesachim. They need to make it, we learned before, there's standards for them, there's certain places where the flour and the wine and oil have to come from, they have to be made in certain ways, and most importantly, they have to be kept matara, which the average person is not equipped to do. But therefore, so the Beit Mikdash had a store on site where they would sell people nesachim. They'd sell them the flour and wine and oil that they needed for the nesachim. But I guess in order to streamline the things, they didn't want to have that you just go to the store and pay them money and you right away get the nesachim over there. Instead, what they had is there's two offices involved over there. You have one office where you go and pay your money, and they give you a choysa, a voucher, sealed with the official signature. Then you bring it to the other office where they have the actual flour and wine and oil, and you give them the voucher, and they give you your nesachim. I guess this way they also knew how much is going in and out and whatever. Maybe they made a little profit. I don't know, but whatever. The point wasn't to make profit. The message is not there to make money. But the point is that this way you know that the nesachim that the person is bringing have been made with Yosha Batara. So the Mishnah describes over there. The Mishnah says over there, according to the Tanna Kamma, you have four different types of vouchers. According to Ben Aza, you have five. And the Mishnah mentions over there one of them was stamped Gedi. And what was that used? Well, Gdi means a young goat or a young sheep. Mishamesh nisketzai, and that was used for the nesachim of sheep. Shal gdolim b'shal ktanim, whether older or younger. Shal tzcharim b'shal metavis, whether male or female. Chus mishal elim, except for the ram. So we see from that that, yes, an adult female sheep, a ewe, it's called in English, a rechela, it's called in Hebrew, has the same nesachim as a younger male or female sheep. So we see clearly from that Mishnah that the only exception is the elim. So there you go, that was the answer. And they passed their test.
That's
the thing. Rava was asking.
He could have asked about the whole.
Fine, he was asking them specifically about the Rechela to see whether they realized that distinction. Okay. Mishnah says, Kol Korbanos HaTzibur Ein Behem. Now that we've been talking about the Nesachim of various Korbanos, so now we're going to digress and talk about, by the way, since we were mentioning what Korbanos need Nesachim and what don't, let's talk about what Korbanos need Smicha and what don't. We know the Torah tells us at the beginning of Parashat Vayikra that the Samach Yodei al Rosh Ha'Ola, so a person has to do smicha on his korban, and a various other places in the Torah, they mention that. So what korbanos do and don't need smicha? So the rule is like this, the Mishnah says, Kol korbanos hatzibur ein behem smicha. When it comes to korbanos hatzibur, none of them require smicha, chos min ha'par ha'bar kol ha'mitzvah, except for the power that is brought in the korban when the Sanhedrin has made a mistake about one of the mitzvahs, for example, the chelev is mutter, and most of the people followed it. It's also called the par helam davar shel tzibur. So that you have, it says over there that the samchu ziknei ha'eda, it says that the ziknei ha'eda rest their hands on it. And the other one is the third, a mishaleach. The other one is the third, la'azazel, which the Kohen Gadol rests his hands on. Reb Shimon Omer, there's a third one, afsi'ir abaris kechavim. Reb Shimon says also the goat that's brought if most of the people accidentally worship abaris Zara. So you have, in other words, in general, when the Sanhedrin makes a mistake in halacha and the people follow it, you're bringing a par, or actually the religion in Hodeus, you bring one par for each shevet, which is brought to the chatas, so it's brought to the chatas of Nimitz, the blood is sprinkled inside the hekel. In the case, if the Aveda was Aveda Zara, then you have a power for an Ola and a Sorer for a chatas. So therefore, Rav Shimon is saying that also the Sorer that's brought for Aveda Zara, for that case, also requires Smicha.
The
Tanna Kamma disagrees, as we'll see in the Gemara. We're finished with the Nesachim. Now we're on to Smicha. On the other hand, kol korbanos hayochid tonin smicha. On the other hand, all korbanos brought by an individual person require smicha. Chutz min ha-bechor v'ha-maisa v'ha-pesach, except for b'chor maisa v'ha-pesach. Now here, unlike the previous mission, chatas and osham do require smicha. And in fact, the usual thing is, when a person is bringing a korban, most of the time when they're doing smicha, they're doing vidui during the smicha. They're saying vidui for whatever avera it is that they're bringing the korban for. So it's a chatas, or even an oila, because we learned in Zvachim, and an oila also a person could be bringing for machshavas zaris or whatever. In the case of a shlomim or a toida, the Rambam says that instead the person would be doing during the smicha, he'd be saying praises to Hashem. Okay. says the Mishnah, the Hayurdish Soimachal Mevi, a person who Yarshin a korban from his father, so his father designated an animal for a korban, and then he died before he had a chance to bring it. So his Oilo Roshlamim, so his son can do smichanit, or maybe Nisachim, the son also has to bring Nisachim together with the korban. In other words, in that sense, it's considered, and no, it doesn't count for the father. No, it means the animal, that means the korban belongs to him. He Yarshin the korban. Umemer, and also it's his in the sense that he's able to make a tzmura with it. If it wasn't his, he wouldn't be able to, but because it's considered his, then he's able to make a tzmura, which he's also to do. You know, you're also to be Umemer, but he has the capability to do it because he's now considered the owner of the carbon.
Of
Umemer, yeah.
No,
obviously. We're mentioning these three things together. In other words, in the sense that he's considered fully his father's Yerush, he's fully Yashin this Korban, even to the extent of being able to be made.
Why could we consider it differently?
We'll see. We'll get there in the Gemara.
So what's the idea?
You'll see. Okay, fine, but we'll get there. We'll get there on Saturday game.
If the person himself is on the Gavra,
I mean, in this case, for example, once his father was Maktish the animal, it's not really considered his anymore. It belongs to Hektish at that point. So why should this guy be considered that he Yashin? That's it. I'm trying to game over that. Okay. We have a long way to go. Okay. Tanan Abanan. We learned the Gemara starts off. Tanan Abanan. Kol Korbanah HaTzibur Ein Behen Smicha. All Korbanah HaTzibur, as we said in the Mishnah, there's no Smicha. Chutz Mi Parabah HaLamitzvah Tassir Abar Yisachavim. Divrei Reb Shimon. So this is what we said in the Mishnah, that Reb Shimon says that the third Abar Yisachavim. Now, Reb Shimon has to agree that the third HaMashaleah has Smicha, and it says so in the Pasuk, the Samach Aaron is Shtei Yadav. Why he doesn't include it, we're going to see later. We're going to see as we go on. But he holds that aside from the Surah Mashaleach, which he doesn't count, he says the two are the Par Halam Dover and the Surah Abadiskachom. Divrei Reb Shimon. Habar Kol Mitzvah. That comes when the Sanhedrin made a mistake regarding one of the mitzvahs and the people followed them. Divrei Reb Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda, I must see Rabbi Diskachom ain't banned Smicha. Rabbi Yehuda says no, there's no Smicha for the Surah Abadiskachom. That's me, Obi Tachseim. So what Korban am I replacing that with? Surah Mashaleach. So I hold that there's two, but the two are, as we said in the Mishnah, as the Tanakhama in our Mishnah, which is Rabbi Huda, says, the Parah, Barakal HaMitzvah, and the third HaMishtalech. So, of course, the question is, like, Sagya V'lai Ma'ayo, what do you mean? Esmi Ovi Tachseyam. Okay, so I'll say there's only one that needs Smicha. Why does Rabbi Huda say that there must be, if I'm taking out one, then I have to replace it with another one? The answer is, Amar Ravina Gmiri, we have the Kabbalah, Shtei Smichas Tzibur, that there are two Korbanos Tzibur that have Smicha in them. Therefore, if we have that Kabbalah, and Rabbi Yehuda has that Kabbalah as well, then there has to be two. So if he doesn't hold that the Tzir Aver Tzichavim has Smicha, of necessity, he has to have some other one. So therefore, he says that'll be the Surah Mishaleach.
He has several to choose amongst the other ones?
No, that's the only one, yeah. But the Pasuk says about it there. Okay, so now let's analyze. Let's continue in the Brayta. So Amalei Reb Shimon, Ba'aloi Ein Smicha Ela B'Bailim. So Reb Shimon says, what are you talking about? The third HaMashaleach counts as the one. The definition of Smicha is that the odor does Smicha on the animal. The Samach Yodoi Al Rosh Korbanoi, that he leans on his own carbon. And, one second, there's that Aaron or Von of Sanctumbray. When it comes to the third HaMashaleach, it's Aaron or his sons who succeed him as Kohen Gadol who are leaning their hands on it. And they're not, as the Gemara is going to discuss soon, that Reb Shimon holds, they're not the ones who get the kapara with the third HaMashaleach. They're not the Bailim, in other words. So therefore, you can't say that that's considered a smicha, that should count towards the two smichas, the tibur.
The tibur,
wait, we'll get there. Okay. On the law, instead of your Yehuda answers, yes, ask there Aaron or Vodim Miskafim. But as a matter of fact, yes, Aaron and his sons do get kapara from the third HaLazazel as well. Okay, so now let's analyze. But Rabbi Yirmiyah says, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, when they're arguing on this point, is the Kohen Gadol considered one of the owners of the third HaMashaleach? That depends, that they're going based on their respective shittas in another place. The Tanya, we learn in a Braita, when the Pasuk says that near the end of the section about Yom Kippur in Parshas Achrimot that we read on Yom Kippur morning, The pasuk says, the pasuk goes like this: the chiper is mikdash hakodesh. You should make kapara for the mikdash hakodesh. There's oil moyed versus mizbeach nikafu. You should make kapara for the oil moyed and the mizbeach. Now, I'm quoting the whole pasuk. But ala koyinim va'akol amakol yikafu, and for the koyinim and for all the people of the kohol, he should be mikafer. But we're going to douse in each phrase in that pasuk. So what does it mean? So Rashi Ksavyad explains that each, we're going to be explaining that each of these phrases is what is he being, which people is he being mechapel for? Which people and which places is he being mechapel for? Tosfos argues on that and says that actually what it means is it's teaching us where he does the various applications of blood for the korban. Okay, so like this. The chiper, mikdash hakodesh, it starts off that he makes kapara for or in the Mikdash HaKodesh Zelos Nayiv L'Tzim. This refers to the kapara that he's doing in or for the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's Oyo Moed Zehechol. That means the rest of the Hechol. Mizbeach Kamashmoy. Mizbeach means exactly what it sounds like. Mizbeach Hazar. Yechaper Elo Hazar. The word Yechaper refers to the Hazar. So again, according to Rashi, each of these things is, for example, if a person went into one of these places when they were Tomei, then the korbanos are accomplishing kapara for those things. According to Tosfos, it's telling us where is he sprinkling blood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Heichal and on the Mizbeach Hazav and then pouring the rest on the Mizbeach in the Hazav. Anyway, then it continues. Then it mentions the Koyanim and the Am HaKol. Koyanim to Mashman. Koyanim means exactly what it sounds like, the Koyanim. Alko Am HaKol. Then it says the rest of the people of the Kol. Elu Yisrael. This means the Yisraelim. Yechaper Elu Alevim. And then it says Yechaper. This means the Levim. Hushvu Kulam, a Kapara Achat. That means they're all equated as far as one Kapara, namely Shemeskatrin, Bethar Mashalech, Divir Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, there you see that they're all getting their Kapara using the Sarim, for other Averis at least, other than Trumas Nefesh Kodshav, using the Sarim Ashtalayah. So meaning in other words, we learned at the beginning of Shavuos, it talks about that when it comes to Tumas Mitzvah Shekodshav, you have a distinction. You have the Yisraelim get their kapara using one of the korbanos, and then the Koyanim you have a Macholitus over there, which one is which, you have the Sura and Asa Bifnin, you have the Power of Koyan Gadol, you have different ones, you have a Macholitus over there, which one actually works for Tumas Mitzvah Shekodshav, for Yisraelim versus Koyanim. But the sitz is something else. That's if a korban was worked for tumah, that the sitz makes it that the korban is still acceptable on the mizbeach. Here we're talking about if a person was tomei and went into the azara or ate kodshim when they were tomei, and there was no yediyah b'tchila, and there was no yediyah b'tzayif, or there was yediyah b'tchila and not b'tzayif, whatever, all the permutations over there. So then, yeah. So for a certain case involving that, for the Yisraelim, there's one korban as the kaparanim tipper. For the koyanim, there's a different one. But Rabbi Yehuda says, when it comes to the sarilah zolzil, they're all equal. They all get their kapara for other avedas using that.
So it cannot be just a coin double.
That's the point. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, therefore, that when the Kohen Gadol leans on it, he's doing it as one of the people who's having kapara with his korban. Therefore, it's considered a smicha on a korban tibur. Reb Shimon says no. Kishem shadam sir hanaf l'fnei mechaper al Yisrael al tumas mechaper shakadoshim. Just as the blood of the sir, which is brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is mechaper for the Yisraelim, for tumas mechaper shakadoshim, for this case where they entered the mechaper shakadoshim eight kodeshim when they were tamei. So the blood of the power, which is also brought into the hateful, is machaper for the koyin for the same thing. And kashem shabidui shall third am shaleach machaper al Yisrael b'sharaderes. And he says just as the koyin gadol's bidui on the third am shaleach is machaper for the Yisraelim for other averes. Ach bidui shall par machaper al koyin b'sharaderes. So also the koyin gadol's bidui earlier on the par is machaper for other averes for the koyin. So therefore, according to Reb Shimon, by the time you get to the Sur Lazozel, the Kohenim have already had all their Averis cleaned up, because you have some of them with the power, and some of them with the Dam Apur, and some of them with the Vidui Apur. So therefore, according to him, there's nothing left for the Sur Lazozel. So according to him, only the Israelim are benefiting from the Sur Lazozel.
So 1 second, the par, is the Chaper also for the Kohen Gadol?
Yes. But
so why does he need a second kapara with the seer?
That's what we're saying. That's what Shimon is arguing. He doesn't. Reb Yehuda is saying that the power that Reb Yehuda is saying that so far we've only taken care of Trumas Mekdesh HaKadosh. Fine, you have the power versus the Sire for the Kohenim versus the Yisrael, but as far as other Averis, you haven't yet dealt with them, neither for the Kohenim nor for Yisrael. That's what the Sire Ma'azazel accomplishes. So therefore, according to him, the Kohen Gadol leaning on it and doing vidui is accomplishing for himself. According to Reb Shimon, it's not. Okay, so the question is, but if Shimon Havadei Hushmu, okay, but as far as according to the Shimon, there was that equation that you have Kohenim, Levim, Yisraelim all have one kapara. So what is that then? If he's not saying it, so because of the fact is, you have at the end where it says, Vala Kohenim, Vala Am HaKol Yechaker, that the Pasuk is making it clear there's one kapara for all of them. So what is it? So fine, the Braisa recorded before is according to Rabbi Yehuda, but nevertheless, it's still a Pasuk. The answer is, Ein Hushvu Dibnei Kapara Minu. Fine, Reb Shimon will say they're all equated in that all of them get Kapara. All of them are able to get Kapara for their other Avedas. Don't think anybody is left out. Mihu, but Reb Shimon will say Kol Chad V'Chad V'Chad Ben Anashe. But each one, each category has their different carbon. Some of them have the power and the Sur. Some of them have the Sur and the Shaleach. So therefore, yes, so it doesn't mean that they all have one carbon that they all share in equally. So therefore, according to him, the Sur and the Shaleach is not for the Kohenim, because they've already been dealt with by the power and the Sur. Therefore, all that's left at this point is the Yisraelim. And therefore, the Kohen Gadol leaning on that carbon is not that he's doing it for a group that includes himself. Therefore, you can't call that a smicha. A smicha, by definition, has to be something where the owner, the one who's getting kapara, is doing smicha.
If the owner is only given, and he's just a shliach.
That's fine, but that's the point. In other words, he's a shliach, so therefore it's not a real smicha. Normally, as we're going to say in the next Mishnah, a shliach can't do smicha for you. You have to do smicha yourself. So here, where you're having a shliach do it, then it's obviously not a real smicha. Therefore, if we have the Kabbalah, that there are two Kabbalah Sibur that have smicha, the Sur La'azazel cannot be one of them. And therefore, Reb Shimon says, my only choice, therefore, is to say that it's the Par HaBar Kol HaMitzvot, and the other one must be, therefore, by elimination. It must be the Sur from Avodah Zarah. Okay.
Says that the par, Shimon says the par is mechaper for which averus?
We said, according to him, you have two things that the par is accomplishing. One, the blood of the par, and one, the vidui of the par.
Right.
The dam of par is for the kohen and for Trumas Mekdesh HaKadosh. The vidui of the par is mechaper for the kohen and for the other averus. Nothing to do with Yisraelim, right. Okay.
Yisraelim,
you have the Sur Hanach, the name is for Trumas Mekdesh HaKadosh, and the Sur La'azazel is for everything else.
Was it fine?
Yes. What does one have to do with the other? Okay, let's go on. Okay. So the question is, Lirab Yehuda, okay, so let's see like this. Not a question. Lirab Yehuda, Tumas Mitzvah Kodesh, Rav Yisrael, Mechafri, Bedav Sar, Anasi, Bifnei. So according to Rav Yehuda, let's summarize. And by the way, let's summarize. And actually, Shittim HaKubasa says that this summary over here is, is it over here, or is it one on Amud Beis? I don't remember. There's some summary in the Gemara over here where he says it's actually from the Rabbanan Sevaroi. That they added into the Gemara in order to clarify it. Okay, so Lirab Yehuda, Tumas Mitzvah Shekodshav Yisrael Mechafri Badam Sar Anas Bifnim. So, the Tumas Mitzvah Shekodshav, the Kohenim get their the Yisraelim get their Korban using the blood of the Sar Anas Bifnim, the Kohenim of Parashal Aaron. Meanwhile, the Kohenim have gotten the same Kapara using the power of Aaron. As far as the other Averis, both the Kohenim and the Israelim are getting their kapara using the vidui of the Sur and Mashalach. So according to him, they all share in that equally.
The only difference
as far as Tumas Mitzvah Shekodesh, Par versus Sur. All of Shimon, B'shar Averis Nami Kohenim and Vidui to Par Miskatri. According to Reb Shimon, when it comes to other Averis, Kohenim also get their kapara accomplished with the vidui of the power, Kidikotomi, Echad Yisrael, Echad Kohenim, Echad Kohen Mashiach, as in fact the Mishnah says over there in Shavuot, the Yisraelim and the Kohen Mashiach, and the Mishnah continues over there, Mabin Yisrael, the Kohenim, the Kohen Mashiach, what is the difference between the Yisraelim, the Kohenim, and the Kohen Mashiach? Rabbi Yehuda says the blood of the power is machapa for the kohenim for tumas mitzvah shekodshav, and meanwhile the sur la'azazel will be everything else. But Rabbi Shimon says, k'shem shadam asur hanasu b'sneim machapa for Yisrael, just as the blood of the sur hanasu b'sneim is machapa for Yisrael, kach dam apor machapa al kohenim. so also the blood of the par is machapra for the kohenim. And the shame should be duri shall sorin amashalech machapra al yisrael, just as the vidui of the sorin amashalech is machapra for yisrael, kach be duri shall par machapra al kohenim. So the vidui of the par is machapra for the kohenim. So according to him, you have two things that are accomplished with the dam. One for Yisrael and one for Kohenim, but both involving Tumas Nefesh HaKadosh, and two things that are accomplished using Vidui. Again, one for the Kohenim and a separate one for the Yisraelim, namely other Averis. So according to him, yeah, the Sir Halazol has nothing to do with the Kohenim.
Why do you need to differentiate between Tumas Kachav and all the other Averis? What's
because since the Pesukim mentioned over there, the Chibra HaKadosh Mitumas B'nei Yisrael and Mekushayim Lachol HaTosem, so that means there's a certain Kapara for Tumas Nefesh HaKadosh, separate from the kapara for everything else.
You cannot interpret tumas as general averus.
On the simple meaning of it, tumas mitzvah, tumah yisayim, l'chol pishayim, means tumas mitzvah for kachos. The tumas b'nei Yisrael, pishayim l'chol hater is a mir. Okay. Fine. Okay, so that's so we see that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon disagree whether the Sar Lazozol is accomplishing anything for the Kayanim. Therefore, that also drives their machlokas over here, whether the smicha of the Sar on the Sar Lazozol, which is definitely done, it says it in the Pasuk, whether that can be considered one of the smichas by the Korbanos Tiburna. Okay. So now let's talk further about the korban, about the other korban, the Parabar Kolomistis, and according to Rabbi Shimon, the Sar of Avodah Zarah. So let's talk about those. Turn it on. The Pasuk says the Sampo Zikner Eda Sidei Marosh HaPor. The Pasuk says the Zikner Eda members of the Sanhedrin, it's three members, I think the Rambam says, lean their hands on the head of the Par. So the word HaPor teaches us Par Tone Smicha, the interior of it is Chavim from the Smicha of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that word Par means only specifically the Par, yet Smicha, but not the Sar. Not the third, that would be brought if the Aveira involved was Avodah Zarah. Rav Shimon, no, Par Tone Smicha Bizkenim. No, it doesn't mean that the third doesn't get Smicha. It means only the Par gets Smicha by the Skenim, by the members of the Sanhedrin. The Ein Seiras of Eretz Chavim, Shonet Smicha Bizkenim. What it is the Seiras of Eretz Chavim don't need Smicha by the Skenim, but they still need Smicha, Ela Ba'aren. Rather, he says Aaron, meaning the Kohen Gadol, is the one who does smicha on the sorla, on the sorla, on the sorla of Avodah Zarah. So yeah, according to the Sorah, well, that's according to Rav Shimon. So again, if you have, we didn't have all this kingdom. I think the Rambam says 3 or maybe 5, I don't remember, whatever it is. Anyway, the point is that we learned it in Shavuos, actually, The point is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you only have, if the Sanhedrin made a mistake in most areas of halacha, you anyway only bring one korban, the parabach on this. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are going to agree that Kenim do smicha on it. But if the Aveira was Avodah Zarah, which Sanhedrin passed him, and a certain type of Avodah Zarah is Musar, and most of the people followed it, then they bring two korbanos, a par and a sar, and Rabbi Shimon is going to say that sar gets smicha by the Kohen Gadol, and Rabbi Yehuda is going to say no, it doesn't.
That's the one every shaved has to bring?
In both cases, every shaved has to bring. We actually had a machloket about it. We had a machloket about that itself, and how is whether you bring one or whether you bring 12. Yeah, halakha is bring 12, yeah. Okay. The Gemara says, Uramino. I have a contradiction to this. We have another braisa that says like this. When it says by the sir, it says that the Kohen Gadol has to lean his hands, the Samach Yodov, al Rosh HaSor HaChai, on the head of the living Sor. Remember, by that point, the Sor Lashem has already been shechted and its blood sprinkled and everything. So the question is, what do we learn from that word HaChai? Obviously, it's the only one left, it's the one alive.
The one
that's sending away? The one that's sending away, Chazal. It means HaChai, Tone Smicha, Ve'in Siri, Averis Lachavim, Tone Smicha, Divir Rabbi Yehuda. It means Rabbi Yehuda is saying, you have a miyut over the word of HaChai, that another Sor that's being brought on behalf of the Sibur, namely for Avodah Zarah, does not need Smicha, Divir Rabbi Yehuda. Reb Shimon on the Chai Tone Smicha Baharin. No, what it means is the Sar HaChai, the Sar Lazozo, Aaron, the Kohen Gadol has to do Smicha. The Ain Seir Averis Chachavim Tone Smicha Baharin Elabis Gainin. But the Seir Averis Chachavim, says Reb Shimon in this last brisa, do not have Smicha by Aaron, they have Smicha by the Gainin. So you have a contradiction. You just said in the previous brisa that Reb Shimon is saying the Sar of Avodah Zarah, you have Smicha, is done by Aaron. Here all of a sudden he's saying that it's done by the Gainin. So which one is it?
I don't
know, no, it means Aaron, it means the Kohen Gadol after Aaron. It means whichever Kohen Gadol succeeds Aaron. And the point is, actually, Mephoshim points out, it's not even you could say before, like you said before, that, okay, Aaron, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Kohen Gadol himself is joining in the Kapara over here. Here you're talking about the people worship Rabbi Zorah, let's say, by mistake, based on the Pesach of the Sanhedrin. Not necessarily that the Kohen Gadol one of the people who did that. So he doesn't necessarily need the Kapara. So what is Rabbi Shimon so saying that over here, in the first Brisa, that the Kohen Gadol was doing it, and now in the second one he's saying this game?
Could be two different
stories. No. So the Shimon says, are you thinking, do you think it's even possible that the first Braisa is correct? Obviously, that first Braisa that says that Aaron, meaning the Kohen Gadol, does smicha in according to Rav Shimon, can't possibly be correct. We just said before that Rav Shimon argues with Rav Yehuda, the definition of smicha is done by the Bailim. Here Aaron is doing it, and yet Rav Shimon is counting it as one of the two smichas to count towards it, so therefore it can't be. Rather you have to enter the Braisa like this. Trit means explain the Braisa. Explain the Braisa rather as follows. It means to establish it correctly. You should learn like this. Hapar, again, let's start over. When the first Braisa, when it says Hapar, it says that the Zikna ate to rest their hands on the car, again means Par Chon Smicha Ben Sir Avidus Kam Chon Smicha, Divir Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Rabbi Yehuda will say from that word Par, we mean only the Par gets Smicha, not the Sir. Rabbi Shimon says that no, I'm not learning from the word Hapar, rather I'm learning from the word Hachai, so we're sort of combining the two Braisa together. Hachai Chon Smicha Ba'aron, only the Sir Lazozo, which is described in the pasuk as Chai, needs smicha by the Kohen Gadol. The answer ever comes when it's smicha by Aaron. Elabus came. So in the case of the Sir, of Arizona, it's not Aaron but rather the Skane. So that is which combining the two brises together, basically. So yeah, the second half of the first brise that we quoted is, of course, it's two situations. But the point is that Rabbi Yehuda is learning from the word Hapar, and Rabbi Shimon seems to be ignoring. Now that we're saying that Rabbi Shimon seems to be ignoring Rabbi Yehuda's limud from Hapar, and instead saying, no, I'm going to learn from Hachai. Namely, in other words, like this. V'hachi ka'amalei Rav Shimon l'Rav Yehuda. So it means Rav Shimon is telling Rav Yehuda like this. Seiri Avodah Sechavim Bo'u Smicha. The fact of the matter is that Seiri Avodah Sechavim requires smicha. So we can't learn from that word hapur that it means that not. The ish mi'alach, the like Bo'u Smicha. You may have heard from your Rebbeim that it doesn't require smicha, but that's not what it means. But Aaron who dish mi'alach. What you were supposed to have heard, is that they don't get smicha by Aaron, which that we're learning from the mir for the word hachai. But nevertheless, they do need smicha.
Hachai is
mamai, that only the sir hachai, only the sir lazozo, gets smicha by the Kohen Gadol. Any other sir that requires smicha is going to be by the Kenyan. What would that be? The one that comes from Rabbi Zara. So we're not learning from Hapor like Rabbi Yehuda is. Rather, Rabbi Shimon is learning from Achaya. Okay. So the question is, Rabbi Yehuda lomali l'matinu mikra. Okay. According to Rabbi Yehuda, though, b'chlal, why do we need a pasuk to be memai the third of a desire? If Rabbi Yehuda is saying again that the third of a shaleach is one of the two, and the par haba kolamitzus is the other one, so you only have two. Exactly, you only have two. Well, Amar Ravina Gemiri Shteis Nichas B'Tibur. We said before that we have a Kabbalah that there are only two, so therefore automatically we know there's no more than two. Yeah, you don't need a pasuk. And in fact, actually, a lot of times Gemiri means Halach Lamosh Mitzinai, and if it's Halach Lamosh Mitzinai, by definition, there's no remez for it in a pasuk. So we don't need a pasuk to be excluding something that we missed.
We're not sure of that.
The answer is Girsa. That's exactly the answer. Girsa Ba'alma. The answer is it's only a Girsa. Meaning, in other words, so Rashi brings a couple of explanations. One is that it means the psukim are actually only an asmasa, just to help us remember the din. We're not actually learning from the word hafar, which is why the Shimon feels free to ignore it. The other possibility Rashi says is Rabbi Yehuda may say that it's not actually Allah l'mosh mitzinai. The girsa ba'alma kanokat lahu the chachamim to help themselves remember came up with this way of remembering. You should remember that there's only two smichas b'sefer, but it's not that it was actually told the l'mosh mitzinai that there are exactly two. Therefore, according to that, we would actually need a pasuk to tell us that not otherwise. Where did the chachamim get it from? That's the point. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's why he's a darshan from Sukkim. So he's going to say, therefore, the two are, we know that there are two mentioned in the pasuk, the par habar kol mitzvahs and the sarah mishaleach. I hold, says Rabbi Yehuda, that the sarah mishaleach is considered smicha b'bailim, because the Kohen Gadol is getting his kapara with it also. Therefore, those are the two. And how do we know? There shouldn't be a third one. That would be, we're learning from the word hapar, that they're the third of the zarana.
In general, things that are like a, learned from much of the Jedi.
Then you wouldn't have a pasuk about it. Then you wouldn't have a pasuk about it. What? You wouldn't have a pasuk about it. You're locked today.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Who is it?
That kid that is like the suit over here.
No, we don't want that. Okay, onward. So the point is, anyway. So again, there's a couple of possibilities here. What girsa ba'alma means? Either it means that we actually do know the thing halacha l'moshe mitzinai, and we're using the pasuk only as an asmachta, or the other way around. That it's not halacha l'moshe mitzinai, and we're actually learning that there's no more than two based on this pasuk. What about Reb Shimon Seiri Avodas Chachamim Devari Smicha Manala? Now let's turn back to Reb Shimon. How does he know then that the Seiri Avodas Chachamim do need smicha? It doesn't say in the pasuk that they do. According to Reb Yehuda, they talk it don't. But according to Reb Shimon, who says they do, where is he getting that from? The answer is Nachgalon Mitzanya. He learns it like this, because it says in the pasuk the Samach Yobei Al Rosh Hasar. The pasuk mentions earlier in Parshas Vayikra when it describes the case where you have a case of the third nasi, where the king has been over on a mitzvah for which he has to bring a chatas, and he brings a male goat as a chatas as opposed to a commoner would bring a female goat or a female sheep. So the pasuk says he rests his hands on the head of the sir. The word hasir l'rabis sir nachshon l'smicha divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, from that we learn that also the sir, that Nachshon, and all the other Nesiyim Ruah, the first 12 days, Chanukah Tavayis, also had to have smicha done on them. Rabbi Shimon Omer, let Abbas say Rabbi Yehuda, smicha. What?
How did you know that?
Because he says that's what we're learning from the word Al Rosh HaSir. Rabbi Shimon Omer, let Abbas say Rabbi Yehuda, smicha. Rabbi Shimon says it comes to include the say Rabbi Yehuda, smicha, that they get smicha. And the reason is, Shehoi Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon said a general rule like this. Kol chatas shenichnas dama lefnim, any chatas where the blood of it is brought into the heifel, as is true of the seir avodah zarah, tuuna smicha. Then that such a korban requires smicha. So there you go. Therefore, the seir avodah zarah, the blood is brought into the heifel, but the seir nachshon, not seir nachshon, the blood wasn't brought into the heifel. So we're going to ask, lomely the memory of Shehoya, why do we need to add this detail that Shimon used to say, that what connection is there between a korban going lefnim and smicha? And the answer is, again, Simona Ba'alma, he's just giving it as a siman, a helpful way to remember what needs smicha and what doesn't, is that this way you know that sarah nachshon is out. Okay, the question is, aim a sarah nachshon lefnim dumya de sarah nasi. Fine, but you should argue that, maybe you should say that the sir hanasu b'snim has to be dumya de sir nasi. Maybe it's only the kind that is similar to the sir nasi. The mechaper ala veiras mitzvah yedua, where it's mechaper only for with mechaper only for an aveira where the person knew that he had done wrong. Because usually, when does a person bring a chassas, including a king, if he knew oy hoyda elav chassas, he finds out that he did such and such an aveira, and then he brings a korban. But when it comes to the sir Yom HaKippurim, that one is not brought, the sir that's brought between Yom HaKippur, it's not a question, it's a statement, the ema, and that means also, that last sir Hanasu B'Snim, Jumya, the sir Nasi, what kind of sir Hanasu B'Snim, we're talking about the kind that is similar to the sir Nasi, the Mechapu Alaveras Mitzvah Yedua. That's me Mechapu for an Avera where the person knows he did wrong. When it comes to the sir of Yom Kippur, we said before that's Mechapu for Tumas Mitzvah Shvakadshav, and which Tumas Mitzvah Shvakadshav is it talking about, where the person knew originally that he was Tomei, then he forgot that he was Tomei, and went into the Mitzvah, and never realized again that he had been in the Mitzvah when he was Tomei. That's the kind that the sir and after the sin is Mechapu for. Therefore, Rav Shimon is saying that's why that one doesn't need Smicha. Because it still has, the rule is like this. Rav Shimon would say that in order for it to require smicha, it has to be, on the one hand, nasi b'snim, but it also has to be that it's done for an aveira yedua, similar to the third nasi. So therefore, the only one that, the only one that fits both of those criteria is the Sar of Prabhu Dazara. Because the Sar of Yom Kippur is not brought for Avera Yidua. The Sar of Nasi and Nakshan, for that matter, are not being brought with him. Therefore, nothing. Therefore, no smicha by them.
When he doesn't know what
when he doesn't, because not brought with him, and the other because the person doesn't know that he doesn't end up knowing that he did the Avera. Okay, so let's finish off. Fine. According to Ravina, who said at the beginning of the Sugya that we have the Kabbalah, that there's two smichas to Sivir, and that means the pastures, we have it the Kabbalah, halacha l'mishin Sinai. So according to him, Kroi Lamali, according to him, why do you need Sukkim to say what's in and what's out? The answer is Istrich Hilchsa, the Istrich Kroi. He would say, fine, but you still need that the halacha l'mishin Sinai, that there's only two, and you also need the Sukkim to clarify what? If we only have a Sukkim, have Amin Azukha Shamay Sibur, then we would think there's a third one that we should add that has Smicha. Namely, we should argue the Zivchei Shamay Sibur, the ones that are brought on Shul.
The
E-Nikra, if we only had Sukkim to teach us what gets Smicha and what doesn't among Karbana Sibur, then we would think to add a third one, the Shamay Sibur that are brought on Shul. And the reason would be, Ki Kasha Amasnissim, the Hafkirka, the Kolomanachas body. As, in fact, we had a question on the Mishnah in Perek Kolomanachas Boyd earlier in Perek Hay, and in the fifth Perek of Or Masechta, where we said, Om Reb Shimon, Shloisha Minin Tonin Sholosh Mitzvot, we said over there that Reb Shimon said that there were three Korbanos, where there are three Korbanos, and there are three things done with Korbanos, but each of these Korbanos only has two out of those three things done to it. We said we had over there the Zivchei Shamay Sivur. We had the Zivchei Shamay Sivur. We had the Shlomim Yochid, and we had the Osher Metzora. And then we have three things that are done: Smicha when the animal is alive, Tnufa when the animal is alive, and Tnufa after it's shechted. And we said each of these three korbanos only has two out of the three. There's no one of them that has all three. Tnufa is lifting up, is waving it in all directions. So we have to, so when it comes to the Shamay Sibur, you wave them while it's alive, right? What? So we said over there, like, yeah, I guess they're sheep within their first year. And also, actually, the Osher Masoda also is also waved while it's alive. But not the Shlomim Yach. So we said each of these three Korbanos, only two out of these three procedures are done. We said over there, it's like a Venn diagram. There's no one of them that has all three. Okay. So the point is, in that discussion, we said that lacy the kavachaymer that we argued we should be able to make a kavachaymer. The year zivchei shamay sibur tonen smicha the kavachaymer. Maybe the shamay sibur of shavuot should require smicha based on a kavachaymer. Ma shamay yochid she'en tonen tnufa chayim tonen smicha chayim. We said ma doch the shlomim yochid, which don't have to be waved when they're alive, but they don't have to have smicha done on them when they're alive. So then the shamay sibur, which requires smicha when they're alive, how much more so they should require also tnufa rather when they're alive? How much more so they should require smicha when they're alive? Alive. So if it weren't for the halakha l'moshe v'sinai that says there's exactly two, we would have made that kavah chaymer.
With the third one being
that we would have said that now the shamay sibur require, besides that they need snufa when they're alive and snufa after they're shechted, they would also need smicha mechayim. Therefore, it's through chilchusa. So we need the halakha l'moshe v'sinai to tell us don't do that kavah chaymer. The e mechilchusa on the other hand. What a smachta! We're saying that we have a halacha l'mishnah mishnah that there's two and only two, and once we've established what the two are, then we know the shamay sibur are not among them. The e mehilchusa, on the other hand, if we only have the halacha l'mishnah mishnah that there are two, havamin or lo yadin et heyminu, fine, we would know that there are two, but we wouldn't know which two. Kamash malan dumya d'sar nasi. Therefore, we have a point of shimon that the pasuk is giving us the word. Our Rosh HaSoyer to say that the second one has to be, again, the first one, it says explicitly in the post, it's a part of all Kalamitzvahs. But we need the second one, we need the word, Our Rosh HaSoyer, to teach us that it has to be similar to the Soyer Nasi, the Mechafer Alaveris Mitzvah Yadua, that it has to be something that is Mechafer for a Navera where the person knows he did the Avera, as opposed to the Soyer of Yom Kippur, which is for Tumas Mitzvah Yadjab, where the person never finds out that he did the Avera. So therefore, we need the pasuk to tell us that. Otherwise, we would have thought to include that one as well.
If that's
also possible. So therefore, you need the pasuk and you need the halacha l'mishnah. That's it. So that's the bottom line. Is again, everybody agrees that there are only two that need that there are only two korbanos sibur that need smicha, but Rabbi Yehuda would say that there are actually only two animals. One of them is not a korban per se, it's a sarah mishaleach, but nevertheless it's considered because the kohen gadol does get his kapara on it. Rabbi Shimon would say that one doesn't count. Not it's thrown off the cliff with it. Rabbi Shimon would say that one doesn't count, not because of that, but because the kohen gadol is not getting his kapara through it, therefore he's not really the buyer of it. The two are the par habar kolamitzis, which he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, and the other one would be the seir abedis kapara. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha generally is like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon, especially here where he's the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, and therefore the Sar Avodah Zarah does not get smicha. But the Sar Mishalach, yes, everybody agrees to that. Just Rabbi Shimon has said that doesn't count as one of the two. According to Rabbi Shimon, they're the one with the Sar Avodah Zarah. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the two are the Parabar Kol HaMitzvos and the Sar Mishalach, and that's it. Those are the only two of Korban HaSidur. Obviously, right. Well, and the power bar on this was only brought because the head made a mistake as far as Chalev or Shabbos or what have you. Yes. No. These are an example of a carbon sibur she'ain kavur leizman. It's a carbon sibur, but there's no set time for it because whenever it happens.
So
mishalech, yeah, it's an annual thing, sure. Yeah, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I mean, why is the part about it, the Paramitzvah is called this way, and over there it's called Parahelan?
It can be called either one. Parabar Kol HaMitzvah means that it comes for violation of any of the mitzvahs for which a person is Chayav Karis. And Parahelan Dovash Al Tibur is because the Tibur forgot. The Tibur was hidden from them the right thing to do, and they ended up doing the wrong thing. So two different names for the same Karis.
Same Karis.
Yeah. Thanks.